markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are poised for some relief this morning after the S&P 500 erased $1.3 trillion in market capitalization yesterday, closing in a bear market over worries the Federal Reserve will hurl the economy into recession. The Fed's Open Market Committee kicks off a two-day interest rate setting meeting this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 21 points. Dow futures up 134. NASDAQ futures are higher by 93 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9/30 seconds. The yield 3.32%. Yield on the 2-year is 3.30%. NYMEX crude up 0.6%, up 71 cents at $121.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $6.50, 1825.20 for an ounce of gold. The euro is at 1.0445 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2126, and the yen is at 134.26. Head of the Fed's meeting, we get one final read on inflation this morning, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the release of the May Producer Price Index. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Here's Michael Barnett with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the battle over the Donbas region will be one of the most brutal in European history. Ukrainian military officials say their troops have been pushed out of a key city in the east and are in desperate need of additional military aid. China has released a long-detained Bloomberg News employee. Hayes Fan has been released on bail after more than a year in detention. She was held on suspicion of national security law violations. The case remains under investigation while Fan is on bail pending trial. In Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the Celtics are on the brink of elimination. Boston lost to the Warriors 104-94. In baseball, the Nationals and Orioles lost. The Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. As you heard Nathan say, Monday's plunge erased $1.3 trillion in market capitalization. Seeing some signs of relief this morning, maybe. We're joined now live by Bloomberg's Joanna Ossinger, the Bloomberg News Cross Asset Reporter. What do we need to see for signs of a capitulation in markets, Joanna? What are market participants telling you?
Yeah, well, John, you always look for something like elevated volatility and just a real drop where it looks like everybody's given up. Right. And so some people are saying we need to see VIX over 40, for instance, and it's in the low 30s right now. But it's also true that, you know, there can be market dynamics that don't really make that happen. And you can have not quite a capitulation, but things still go up from there for a long time. So we'll see. But at this point, a lot of people are saying it doesn't really look like everyone's given up quite yet.
The PPI this morning, could that be even more important than the consumer price index for stocks? And we're going to get a taste of margins for companies, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the main thing is it's kind of on top of the CPI, right? That if you just had one thing in isolation, one might be more important to some people than another. But coming after everyone's so nervous now about what happened with the CPI, it looks like that could be really important, because if everybody's already nervous, then, you know, it'll just add to that if we see signs that inflation is really staying hot.
All right. So what is the Fed betting right now for tomorrow's meeting? Well, the meeting starts today, but tomorrow's decision and the meeting's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty incredible that we're at 75 basis points, basically, with some people talking about 100. I mean, a full point of a hike. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty about it, but as people look at what the Fed had to do in the past to get inflation under control, and of course, at that point, you're looking decades in the past, right? So things would have been a lot different in many ways, but we're looking at a pretty big hike, at least in what markets are pricing at this point.
Yeah, we have had stocks and bonds moving in tandem lower. So that kind of begs the question, what's the alternative for investors? Is it just cash at this point?
Yeah, well, cash, or if you try to get into kind of maybe safer stocks, you know, energy stocks have done pretty well this year, but it is hard to find a place to hide. Even hedges can be somewhat expensive. So, yeah, investors have had a pretty rough time of it in the past little while here.
Yeah, and with the rates in play and the rate differentials across the world, you see the dollar increasing. And I, as a cross-asset reporter, I got to ask you, what does that do to dollar flows for foreign investments into the U.S. that could, as they have in the past, prop up markets?
Yeah, well, it definitely isn't great for a lot of nations, you know, like some of the Asian countries, for instance. But, you know, I mean, this happened during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic as well. You get the nervousness, you get the dollar higher, and, you know, some other currencies suffer. That affects the imports and exports. But overall, I mean, people are kind of figuring that there will be the dollar will be stronger just because of what the Fed's doing, the yen weakening because the BOJ is kind of staying where it is. So, yeah, it's not exactly easy, but that's somewhat anticipated.
All right, Joanna, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. From Singapore, that will explain the delay this morning. Joanna Hossinger, Bloomberg News cross-asset reporter. Nathan.
All right, good to know, John. Thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Government Accountability Office identified five new priority recommendations for the IRS, including a suggestion that the agency be more transparent about its backlog of unprocessed tax documents. A former AMC employee is proposing a class action against the theater chain because it pays workers in New York State on a biweekly instead of a weekly basis. Former employees of the Wingstop chain are suing NCR in Illinois, charging that cash registers that collect their fingerprints violate a state privacy law.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Now another legal story we're watching. Former President Jimmy Carter has stepped into an environmental dispute in Alaska. A three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit upheld a Trump-era land swap that would allow an isolated town to build a road through a national wildlife refuge. It's part of the national park lands established when Carter signed his Landmark Conservation Act, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. The former president has filed a brief supporting conservationists who want the full Ninth Circuit to rehear the case. And for more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Pat Parenteau, environmental law professor at the Vermont Law School.
Pat, it's not often that a former president puts himself in the middle of a legal battle.
This road was part of the deal called ANILCA, the Alaska Lands Bill, which Jimmy Carter famously signed, saving over 100 million acres of pristine wilderness in Alaska. So the deal in ANILCA was you weren't going to put this road through the Tongass National Forest. Part of the grand compromise on the Alaska Lands Bill. And that's why Carter weighed in and said, wait a minute, you're reneging on the agreement that we reached.
Do you agree with the argument that if this ruling is allowed to stand, then future secretaries of the Interior, future administrations could use this as a precedent to start carving up the land?
You know, it creates a loophole, and you have to look at every instance of can you use the loophole to do something that wasn't anticipated by the agreement. You know, and each case is different. But yeah, I mean, anytime you go back and revisit what I think it's fair to say that there was an agreement at that time that the Tongass was going to be left intact. It's the largest, by the way, the largest carbon forest in North America. It's that kind of really unique resource. So yeah, anytime, you know, you can revisit a deal and open it up for further discussion, that raises the question of whether any deal is ever sacrosanct.
Seems like it would be something the Ninth Circuit would take on bank since it was a 2-1 decision.
Yeah, and it was kind of out there from the academic analysis. You know, the people that study that particular road project and its history have written that the Ninth Circuit should. In fact, there's a whole group of law professors, I'm one of them, who signed an amicus brief saying, you really should take another look at this. because it goes against the deal that was cut back in the 70s.
Tell us a little bit more about why you think the ruling of the three-judge panel was not correct.
They didn't give really any deference to the original agreement that this forest was not going to be opened up. I mean, anytime you put a major road into a forest, you change it forever. I mean, you get all kinds of traffic and all the activities that are associated with that. You know, roads introduce invasive species. There's all kinds of things that happen. You know, you access remote areas where there are grizzly bears and wolves, and then there's poaching. And so there's all kinds of negative consequences from roads. It isn't just the road itself. It's what the road brings into the forest.
And that's Pat Parenteau, environmental law professor at the Vermont Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg terminal at BLawGo. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The S&P 500 finished yesterday's trading more than 20% below its last record close, entering a bear market. Currently, S&P futures are bouncing back. They're up 18 points. Even with the sell-off, Defiance ETF Chief Investment Officer Sylvia Jablonski tells us there is reason for optimism.
We're in the first half of the year. It's not even over yet, although it feels like a decade. And earnings are still looking strong. Consumer is strong. Corporate balance sheets are strong. I know there's a lot of, you know, debate about that, but the numbers and the big, the larger macroeconomic factors are still fairly positive.
Sylvia Jablonski with Chief Defiance ETF says investors could see higher returns this year if inflation and supply chain bottlenecks ease.
Still, for traders, it's all about the Fed right now. The central bank begins its two-day policy meeting today. Reports indicate the Fed could raise rates by 75 basis points. That would be the highest hike since 1994.
Well, ahead of that decision, John, big U.S. banks are signaling more concern for the economy. Investor fears of stagflation are at the highest since the 2008 financial crisis, according to Bank of America's monthly fund manager survey. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman says he sees the risk of a U.S. recession at about 50%.
And turning to oil, crude is holding steady around $122 a barrel. Now we're learning the White House plans for President Biden to visit Saudi Arabia next month. S&P Global Vice Chair Dan Yergin says even if the kingdom increases production, it may not have much of an impact on prices.
The markets are very tight, and so even though you would expect that with what's happening to the overall, seems to be happening, the overall economy is slowing, it's not showing up yet in demand for oil.
S&P Vice Chair Dan Yergin speaking with David West on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the program weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and TV.
All right, let's turn to corporate news, John, and talk Twitter now. Elon Musk is set to address staff at the company directly this week. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg sources say this will be the first time Elon Musk addresses Twitter employees since agreeing to buy the company for $44 billion. And Musk will take questions at the Thursday morning virtual meeting. The company's been in a chaotic state since the deal was announced in April. Musk has been critical of the company and questions the amount of spam accounts. Meantime, Twitter CEO has announced a series of cost-cutting measures since the deal came together. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now up 108 points, S&P futures up 18, the NASDAQ futures up 85 points. And that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York has expanded legal protections for people seeking and providing abortions in the state. Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation in anticipation of the U.S. Supreme Court potentially overruling its 1973 Roe v. Wade's decision, which established a constitutional right to abortion.
This is 2022. The right to control our own bodies was supposed to be well-settled precedent by now. Or so we thought.
Governor Hochul says the new laws plan to give abortion providers $35 million to expand services and boost security in anticipation of an influx of out-of-state people seeking abortions in New York. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirmed he watched the committee's hearings closely on the January 6th Capitol riot, even as he faces increased pressure to investigate former President Donald Trump. Garland didn't comment on the current status of a possible investigation against Trump, but
at this point, this investigation is proceeding according to facts and the law.
AG Garland, as Trump's top government officials and even his family, were dismantling a false claim of 2020 election fraud ahead of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The four GOP candidates running for New York governor debated topics last night from crime, the economy, and former President Trump. During the debate aired on CBS2, Andrew Giuliani, the son of the former New York mayor, was asked about the hearings.
You know, the media has been fixated on January 6th for the better part of a year and a half now. And I would like to see a congressional hearing on the 274 riots that happened between May of 2020 and January 5th of 2021, rather than just one day where the media is completely focused on.
Giuliani is a former advisor to Trump. Other candidates at the debate, U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, businessman Harry Wilson, and former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:35 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stachera.
All right, John. The Golden State Warriors, of course, led by Steph Curry. That was obvious in Game 4 in Boston when Curry scored 43 points. But last night, Curry did not make a single three-pointer shot. 0 for 9, ends a streak of 233 games in a row with at least one dating back to November of 2018. And the Warriors still won. They got 26 points from Andrew Wiggins. They began the fourth quarter with a 10-0 run. They beat the Celtics 104-94. First time in the playoffs the Celtics have lost two in a row. Warriors lead the NBA Finals 3-2. Game 6 is Thursday in Boston. Golden State a chance to win a fourth championship in the last 8 years. We'll see if NBA Commissioner Adam Silver can hand out the trophy. He missed last night's game. COVID protocols. Yankees and Mets both home tonight. Red Hot Yanks host Tampa Bay. Since losing a couple of games to the Rays, the Yanks have gone 11-1. Mets take on Milwaukee. The Braves won again. They hit five home runs. They won 9-5 in Washington, although they lost Ozzie Albies to a broken foot. Atlanta 12-0 in June, and they're now five games behind the Mets. Phil Mickelson met the media in Boston as he gets ready to play the U.S. Open that starts Thursday. Asked repeatedly about his decision to play the new Live Tour, Phil did mention the money.
Incredible financial commitment, but more than that, for all the players involved and everyone involved, but more than that, there are other factors that with fewer tournaments, it allows me to have more balance in my life. It allows me to do things that are off the golf course I've always wanted to do.
Mickelson said he understands the criticism, including that from fellow players who are sticking with the PGA. John Stachauer, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Subway Restaurants is considering moving to Fairfield County, Connecticut, where its operations began, and leaving its current Milford headquarters. The sandwich chain says it's exploring options in northeastern Fairfield County to create a world-class work environment for its employees. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers opposes a bill awaiting the signature of New York Governor Kathy Hochul, according to New York Focus. The measure would place a two-year moratorium on new fossil fuel power plants that would be used by the crypto industry. The state of New Jersey is fighting over how to spend about $11 billion in surprise tax revenue. Governor Phil Murphy says he wants to issue $900 million in taxpayer relief checks, apply at least $1.3 billion toward debt reduction, and save money for an emergency. Others disagree with his plan, though. They say a financial crisis is approaching. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
Steve Potisk. And on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how the Bloomberg Fed Index finds bankers are not rushing back to the office amid a recent COVID surge.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. The maker of Jack Daniels is planning to sell pre-mixed Jack and Coke canned cocktails.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that cash register maker NCR faces a potential class action in Illinois for allegedly collecting restaurant workers' fingerprints without permission.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting 11 Comerica branches in Michigan are closing.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's now 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
For too long, a common-sense agreement to fix America's gun laws has seemed out of reach. A new effort in Congress offers reason for optimism. This week, 10 Senate Democrats and 10 Republicans compromised on a framework for what will likely be the most significant gun control legislation the U.S. has seen in years. Their plan won't please everyone, but there's no question it represents progress. Importantly, it will encourage states to enact red flag laws, which allow courts to temporarily remove firearms from individuals in crisis. It would also ensure that domestic violence records are more widely included in background checks and boost penalties for gun trafficking. The framework is modest, no doubt, and ought to be a starting point for wider change. But after a decade of congressional inaction on gun safety, every step forward, big or small, should be welcomed. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Yeah, Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. NASDAQ futures right now, after yesterday's massive sell-off, they are up 96 points. S&P futures up 22. And the Dow futures right now, 135 points higher. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg weather for today from meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Morning clouds in the city with a chance of a stray sprinkle or maybe an isolated shower. Otherwise, it's going to turn partly sunny today. High temperature in the mid-80s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are bouncing back. Treasuries have snapped a four-day sell-off, a market rout driven by expectations of sharper Federal Reserve interest rate hikes to fight inflation. Looks like it could be ending, at least at the moment. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points. Dow futures up 98. NASDAQ futures are higher by 80 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.3%. Now the CAC in Paris is lower by 0.6%. 10-year Treasury is up 10/32. The yield almost 3.32% on the 10-year note. Yield on the 2-year, 3.30%. NYMEX crude up about 0.5%, up 54 cents at $121.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $7.60 at $18.24.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0455 against the dollar. British pound 1.2148. The yen is at 134.24. Federal Reserve kicks off its two-day interest rate setting meeting this morning. A decision expected tomorrow ahead of all that. A final read on inflation. 8:30 Wall Street time when we get the May Producer Price Index. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Donald Trump's closest campaign advisors were dismantling his false claims of 2020 election fraud ahead of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. During yesterday's House hearing, former Attorney General William Barr said the defeated president seemed detached from reality. President Joe Biden is said to be traveling to Saudi Arabia next month. Biden plans to meet Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. China has released a long-detained Bloomberg News employee. Hayes Fan has been released on bail after more than a year in detention. She was held on suspicion of national security law violations. The case remains under investigation while Fan is on bail pending trial. Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Celtics are on the brink of elimination. Boston lost to the Warriors 104-94. In baseball, the Nationals and Orioles lost. The Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The S&P 500 erased $1.3 trillion in market capitalization and closed in a bear market. So what's next? Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead. We're joined by Patrick Palfrey, co-head of quantitative research and senior equity strategist at Credit Suisse. Patrick, do you see signs of capitulation in the markets?
Well, there were certainly signs of capitulation yesterday. I think what's interesting when you look at the price action amongst sector, you see that energy was among the worst performing sectors, despite the fact that we didn't see any material move in oil. And I think what it comes down to is the pain that a lot of individuals are seeing on Wall Street and the areas where they have the ability to take profits. And that's, I think, why we saw them probably move more aggressively than energy and other sectors. But I think we do see signs of capitulation. Whether or not it is the sign of capitulation that investors are looking for, I think that remains to be seen, particularly with the volatility we're seeing not only within equities, but within commodities, within currencies, and probably most importantly, within fixed income areas of the market.
Yeah, and VIX, the Wall Street fear gauge, that's been elevated, but still only around 32. Does that need to go much higher before we might see a bottom?
Well, I think the VIX moving higher from here is going to be more difficult. What we're actually seeing right now is the VIX should be more elevated. When you look at realized vol versus traditional VIX, what you see is realized vol is typically 6 points lower given the cost of hedging in the VIX. And what we're seeing is the two of them are actually pretty close to par. And what that reflects is actually the demand for downside protection put buying, as judged by the skew index, is actually not nearly as elevated as we would have expected. And it really reflects the fact that we've had an elevated VIX for a while. Many hedge funds have taken down the risk profiles of the book, so the need to dramatically hedge their positions is actually diminished. And that's why we're not seeing the VIX as high as it needs to be. And I don't think we're really going to see it move much higher from here.
Okay, so what is the course ahead for the Federal Reserve?
Well, I think we look out to this week's meeting. There's a lot of talk potentially of 75 basis points, even discussing with clients. I hear the possibility of a whole point move. In reality, I think the Fed has been incredibly meticulous in how they're telegraphing their response. I don't think that we're going to see a 1% move. I do think it is possible to see 75 basis points, but it's hard for me to envision something beyond that, just given how careful the Fed has been in crafting their message, and the fact that they've actually accomplished much of their goals here. When you look at the yield curve, they've already dramatically tightened financial conditions. So they're reaping the benefit of the expectation of this hawkish policy without actually having to implement it.
The consumer price index, well, that's one thing, but do we get a better picture of what to expect from company margins, the input prices with the PPI this morning?
I think we will, and what we've seen is the PPI has been running ahead of CPI, reflecting, I think, the pressure that companies have been seeing. One thing I think that's important to keep in mind is there's a fixed cost point for many companies, particularly old economy or value-oriented companies, which actually can lever machinery and equipment and land and real estate and other long-life assets. So for those companies, they don't need to pass through everything to reap the margin benefit, but I think it does point to some of the margin pressures, and I think labor is a big input, which doesn't oftentimes get captured in the CPI, but remains a big input to companies. You know, right now, I think margins, you know, are incrementally under pressure for certain groups, but I think value-oriented names are still able to weather the margin pressures that we're seeing.
Yeah, what's the next big thing you're going to be looking for today? I've got about 30 seconds.
Well, I think this week, ultimately, we need clarity on the course of the Fed hike. And I think until we see volatility come in within the interest rate area of the market, we're not going to see equity vol decline. And until that point, it's unlikely that we're going to see a materially move forward in futures. It could be as early as Wednesday, or it could stick with us over the course of the summer. But there is a chart forward out of this. It's just a matter of when.
Patrick, thanks. Appreciate it. Patrick Palfrey, co-head of quantitative research and senior equity strategist at Credit Suisse. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street after yesterday's sell-off, Dow futures up 149 points, S&P futures 23 points higher, and the NASDAQ futures up 105 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather from meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Some morning clouds, chance of a stray sprinkle or isolated shower. Otherwise, we'll see partly sunny skies today. The high temperature 80 to 85 degrees. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. New York has expanded legal protections for people seeking and providing abortions in the state under legislation signed by Governor Kathy Hochul. The Democratic governor pushed for the laws in anticipation of the U.S. Supreme Court potentially overruling its 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which established a constitutional right to abortion.
Must the hard-fought battles for my mother's generation, my generation, my 30-year-old daughter's generation, have to be inherited by my new granddaughter's generation as well? Well, apparently so.
Governor Hochul says one new law protects abortion providers from arrest, extradition, and legal proceedings in other states by forbidding New York State from cooperating in most scenarios. Four Republican candidates for New York governor faced off last night in their first televised debate, with 2 weeks to go until the state's primary election. Some of the sharpest exchanges of the night came between U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin and businessman Harry Wilson, who has said he didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2020. Zeldin repeatedly assailed Wilson as a never-Trumper and a Republican in name only.
I believe that we're battling for the heart and soul of our country. And it's not just the Democrats, but it's the rhinos like Harry Wilson who are out there making sure that we have this moment in time with one-party Democratic rule in Washington, D.C.
Wilson responded.
Now, Mr. Zeldin is going to go on to a series of attacks. You saw him even before I had a chance to speak, just like he started attacking me before I ran my campaign. It's because he's scared, because he's a broken candidate.
Wilson claimed that in January, Zeldin had asked him to be his running mate. The Republican field aired on CBS2 also included former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino and Andrew Giuliani, the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirms he is keeping an eye on all of the House committee's hearings on the January 6th Capitol riot. However, Garland is choosing not to elaborate on the current status of a possible investigation against Donald Trump.
The Justice Department's long-standing position is that we don't comment on ongoing investigations.
During a second day of hearings, former Attorney General William Barr said Trump seemed detached from reality. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. SL 510 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The Golden State Warriors can win the NBA championship Thursday in Boston. If they lose, they'll have another chance for the Game 7 Sunday in San Francisco, where last night the Warriors started the fourth quarter with a 10-0 run, and they won Game 5 by 10, 104-94. They lead the series 3-2. All five games have been won by at least 10 points. Andrew Wiggins led Golden State 26 points. Klay Thompson at 21. Steph Curry, who scored 43 points in Game 4, did not make a single three-pointer. That had not happened since November of 2018, 233 games ago. Mets back home for the road trip. They'll play Milwaukee, who just ended an 8-game losing streak. The Yankees, winners of 11 of the last 12, host Tampa Bay. It's Garrett Cole versus ex-Yank Corey Kluber. Cole comes off the outing where he gave up 5 home runs. Josh Donaldson tonight will serve the 1-game suspension he got for comments made to the White Sox Tim Anderson. Donaldson's appeal was denied. U.S. Open tees off Thursday. Brookline, Mass. All eyes yesterday on Phil Mickelson, asked repeatedly about his decision to leave the PGA Tour for the new Saudi-backed LIV Tour, and asked about doing that when most of the 9/11 terrorists were from Saudi Arabia.
I would say to everyone that has lost loved ones, lost friends in 9/11, that I have deep, deep empathy for them. I can't emphasize that enough.
While those that have joined the LIV Tour have been suspended by the PGA, the USGA runs the Open, is allowing them to play. Mickelson's never won the Open. He's finished second six times. John Stashammer, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, Dow futures 94 points higher. The S&P futures, they're up 16. NASDAQ futures, after yesterday's sell-off, up 76 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we'll speak with Patrick Palfrey, the co-head of quantitative research and senior equity strategist at Credit Suisse. He'll set us up for today's trading.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures rebound after yesterday's massive sell-off.
Traders bet the Fed could turn even more hawkish at this week's policy meeting.
Oil prices stay high as President Biden prepares to visit Saudi Arabia.
And Elon Musk addresses Twitter staffers for the first time since his takeover bid.
New York State expands protections for people seeking abortions, plus the Republican governor candidates debate ahead of the New York State primary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Warriors beat the Celtics. They lead the NBA Finals 3-2. The Mets and Yankees have home games tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Hey, good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are bouncing back this morning. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 20 points. Dow futures up 129. NASDAQ futures up 91 points. DAX in Germany, little change. The CAC in Paris is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury's up 13/32. The yield 3.30%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.27%. NYMEX crude is up 0.75%, up 89 cents at $121.82 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3%, down $5.90 at $18.25.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0464 against the dollar, and the yen is at 134.21. John.
Well, Nathan, the S&P 500 finished yesterday's trading more than 20% below its last record close, entering a bear market and ending a 2-year bull run. Currently, S&P futures are up 22 points. Defiance ETF's chief investment officer, Sylvia Jablonski, tells us she expects more uncertainty moving forward.
Inflation has been hot for quite some time. It's going to remain hot for quite some time. So until that eases up, we're probably going to have this volatility with us.
Well, chief Defiance ETF CIO Sylvia Jablonski says inflation headwinds have gotten worse since Friday's CPI reading.
Well, this quarter is set to deliver the biggest combined loss for global bonds and stocks on record, John. The question for investors now is whether the Fed and other central banks tip their economies into recession to curb inflation. Central banks will get further insight on prices today with the latest read on May producer prices. That data is due at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
And also today, the Fed begins its two-day policy meeting. Following Friday's hot inflation reading, officials may consider a more hawkish interest rate increase than originally planned. Bloomberg's Michael McKee gives us a preview.
Surprisingly strong pickups in consumer prices and inflation expectations now look likely to spur the biggest interest rate increase since 1994. Fed officials had coalesced around a 50 basis point hike going into their two-day meeting, which begins this morning. But a big rise in the May Consumer Price Index, coupled with two surveys showing higher inflation becoming embedded in consumer expectations, pushed investors to increase bets on a 75 basis point increase. Those bets hardened following media reports Monday the central bankers would consider the larger move. Economists at major Wall Street firms were quick to change their calls. Goldman, Nomura, and JPMorgan Chase joined Barclays and Jefferies in forecasting a three-quarters point move. The Fed decision will be announced at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Wednesday. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And join us for live coverage of that Fed decision on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance that kicks off tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, meantime, John, some big U.S. banks are signaling more concern for the economy. Investor fears of stagflation are at the highest since the 2008 financial crisis, while global growth optimism has sunk to a record low. That's according to Bank of America's monthly fund manager survey. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman says he sees the risk of U.S. recession at about 50-50.
We're unlikely at this stage to go into a deep or long recession. It's possible we go into recession, obviously, probably 50-50 odds now. But that's okay.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman made the comments yesterday at the Morgan Stanley U.S. Financials Payments and CRE conference.
And overseas, stocks in Europe treading water. They're not bouncing back from yesterday's losses. The Stocks Europe 600 index right now down 1 point. And overnight in Asia, equities followed U.S. stocks lower. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with the latest from Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell more than 1.5% intraday, with bourses from Japan to China and Hong Kong all in the red. Australia underperformed as that market played catch-up following a public holiday Monday. The ASX 200 was down more than 5% during the day's trade, its worst session in more than 2 years. Short-dated bonds across the region slumped, while the Bank of Japan boosted bond purchase operations to keep yields in check. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Turning to crypto now. Now, it's been another wild ride there. Bitcoin dropped 15% yesterday. Perhaps no sector seen a sell-off sharper than the crypto market. Right now, Bitcoin's trading at about $22,500.
And oil trading around $122 a barrel as investors weigh a tight supply outlook. It comes as the White House plans for President Biden to visit Saudi Arabia next month. The administration says it won't press the kingdom to increase production. But S&P Global Vice Chair Dan Yergin says oil will be on the agenda.
It's hard to believe that he would be going to Saudi Arabia if it wasn't for oil. Yeah. I think if he does come, they'll start to put more oil into the market. They've done a little bit more. The thing is that there isn't much more oil in Saudi Arabia and the UAE to really significantly change the market.
S&P Vice Chair Dan Yergin speaking to David Weston on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch that program noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and TV.
Staying in Washington, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he'll move quickly to get gun legislation passed. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Schumer says not everything, but a major step forward.
We have a lot of work left to do before we actually pass a bill.
So working on wording.
Once the text of this agreement is finalized, and I hope it will be as soon as possible, I will put this bill on the floor quickly.
Schumer says it definitely does add to safety. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 19 points. Dow futures up 113. NASDAQ futures up 84 points after yesterday's big sell-off. 10-year Treasuries up 12 32nds. The yield 3.31%. Yield on the 2-year 3.28%. NYMEX crude up 0.7% or 86 cents at $121.79 a barrel. We get May producer prices at 8:30 Wall Street time. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.